would you turn with me, please, to the Word of God, the 8th chapter of John. I'll read the first 11 verses. 8th chapter of John. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself, and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. The 7th chapter of Luke. I'll read from verse 36 to the end. 7th chapter of Luke, verse 36. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath wiped my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Just a few verses at the end of 2 Corinthians 5, I think it is. Yes, the last three verses, verse 19 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I want to show you simply from these two well-known portions of the Word of God where the Lord deals in wondrous grace with two sinful women. How that herein is told out in a wonderful way the heart of God at this present time to any in this room who are yet sinners unsaved. I must confess, the one is earnest before God that I pray that there is one in this room tonight who is concerned about their soul, who is exercised about their sins. Whoever you might be, I know you not. But if there is one in this room under the sound of my voice this night, I would, by the help of God, direct you to the one, the only one, who can deal with you and has dealt with your sins. The verses that one read in the end of the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians give us to understand that when the Lord Jesus Christ was here upon earth, coming into contact with sinful men and women, God was there. And you know, to you, if you are concerned about your sins, I would say at the outset, you have to deal with God. The question was asked by that crowd who were in Simon's house at the end of Luke chapter 7, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? They asked a similar question at the end of Luke chapter 5. And they supplied the answer there. God only can forgive sins. One wants to say right at the outset that, dear sinner, whoever you are, dear one exercised about your soul, you must deal with God. And one would urge you to deal with him tonight. There are two little expressions that I want mainly to speak about. The words of the Lord Jesus to that woman in John chapter 8, "Neither do I condemn thee." My dear friend, in your sins, God does not condemn you. He has condemned your sins. They were condemned when the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, died for you at Calvary. God there condemned sin in the flesh. God does not condemn you, dear one, whoever you may be. God must condemn your sins, and he has done so. But in matchless grace, the heart of God to you tonight is this: "Neither do I condemn thee." But further than this, there is that wonderful expression that came from the lips of the Saviour at the end of Luke chapter 7 to that sinful woman: "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." And the words that he could say to her and to Simon concerning her: "Her sins, which are many, are forgiven." You know, this is wonderfully simple. This is, so to speak, the simple foundation truths of Christianity. We would, as ambassadors on the behalf of God tonight, dear friend, dear sinner, whoever you are, tell you tonight that God does not wish to condemn you. He has given his beloved Son to die at Calvary to save you. And we beseech you, because of the work that he accomplished at Calvary, because of the worth of his precious death, the power of his precious blood, we pray, our dear friend, for you tonight, that you this night might be put right with God, reconciled to him through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look simply at these two portions of Scripture. I cannot bring out anything new, but I'm thankful to say it's the living and powerful Word of God in the power of the Spirit is alone effective in the heart of any in this room. One would pray that the precious Word of God might strike home in conviction and converting power to any in this room this night who needs salvation. They brought unto him a woman. I don't want to speak about they. The Pharisees, they did not love him. They sought to put him into a predicament where, and how folly was the thought, he could put a foot wrong, so to speak, as we say in our day. And they sought to have something to accuse him. And you know, that's awful folly. They realized not that they were dealing with one, and they were standing in the presence of one who was God over all, blessed forever. On the one hand, their folly stands out in all its horror. But you know, on the other hand, you see the matchless grace of Christ, his meekness and lowliness. Despite of who he was, he speaks of himself, you know, in John chapter 9 as the light of the world. And I believe you see in this chapter how that piercing, all-powerful light of the presence of God shone into the hearts of those men and revealed to them in their own conscience their sin. But sadly they went out, but revealed to this woman a wondrous story that God would not condemn her. They brought her to him. You know, there's something wonderfully attractive about the blessed fact that sinful men and women stood in the presence of the Saviour. And my dear friend, again, if you are concerned about your soul, anxious about your sins, we would seek to bring you to the Saviour, to hear what He has to say concerning your sins, to learn what He has done on your behalf about your sins, that you might hear Himself say, not the preacher, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." They brought her to Him. Their motives were horrible. Our motives, beloved friend, whoever you are, is to bring you to God that you might be put right with Him. They rehearsed to Him the enormity of her sin. She was caught in the very act. There was no doubt about it. Well, He knew it. Well, He knew it. Not only her sin, but theirs, in all their hypocrisy and enmity against God. Well, that's what they were. Enemies of God through wicked works. They rehearsed to Him. Think of it. He whose voice thundered at Sinai when the very law that they quoted was given. He stood there. Thank God not on Sinai was its thunderings, its fire, and its trumpet, and its terror. No. He stood there in lowly grace on Olivet. Not on Sinai. He stood there not to exact the law, though He fulfilled it every whit. He stood there not to condemn the world. He came not to condemn the world, that the world through Him might have life. They say to Him, "Moses in the law." Who was Moses? It was God who said it. Such should be stoned. The righteousness of God was such that sin, in whoever it is and by whoever it is committed, must be dealt with. You know, this is a humbling thought. We cannot pass over the righteousness of God. See to what ends God has gone to, and I say it reverently, to maintain the righteousness of His throne. See to what ends God has gone to, that He might be completely just in His dealings with sinners of the darkest dye. He gave His beloved Son, one who was sinless. I read those verses, that He was made sin. The fact, you know, that it says He was made sin is indisputable proof that He was not that before. He was made sin. That we might be made righteous. Indisputable fact that we were not righteous. But He was made sin in order that God might be completely righteous in making you and I righteous and forgiving us our trespasses and our sins when we but exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He stooped down on the ground to the heart that loves Him. We can stop at anything that is said of Him, how the heart that loves Him loves to muse upon the stoop that He took. The hymn writer has said, "Came from Godhead's fullest glory down to Calvary's depth of woe." He stooped. Stooped in lowly grace into manhood, taking a servant's form into a place of obedience, an obedience of such character that it was prepared to go to death, and of a death such as that of crucifixion on a cross. Stoop divine, immense, unfathomable, the stoop that He took in order that poor, lost, guilty sinners like you and I could be reached and blessed by the love of God. He stooped and wrote on the ground. We're not told what he wrote. They continued asking him. And he lifted up himself. And he exacted the fulfillment of the law. Oh, the wisdom, the majesty of the answer. How it proved who he was, supreme in every circumstance. How righteously he dealt with men. But oh, what grace and kindness is told out in the words that he spoke. To them, he knew their hearts. To them was the word. And I believe it was a stern word. For those that will have the law will be judged out of the law. And they were judged and condemned that day by their own conscience. He that is among you without sin, let him cast a stone at her. They couldn't stand in the presence of that, you know. They went out. And yet there was one that remained. Or to think that in the face of the exact requirements of the law, a sinful woman of the darkest dye, could stand in the presence of Jesus. It's a wonderful thing, you know. This is the heart of God. God had come down in the person of Christ to reach poor, lost, sinful men and women. They went out, they had no part in this. They knew neither the righteousness of God, they knew nothing of the grace and love of God in Christ. They went out, glad to be rid of them. But he was left alone. And the woman. Let me tell you again, dear friend, if you're concerned about your soul, conscious of your sins, get alone with him. His arms outstretched are to call you to him. He says, come unto me, all that are weary and heavy laden. And there are this night, dear friend, whoever you might be, arms outstretched that would draw you to himself in order that you might know something of the love that has gone to Calvary in order that those sins of yours might be dealt with righteously in the sight of God. He was left alone with the woman. He had said, you know, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the stone. You know, there was one there that could have cast the stone. There was one there that was competent righteously at that moment to have exacted the law and could have righteously stoned her. But he didn't. He didn't come to condemn. He didn't come to destroy. He came to reveal the heart of God. And he said to that woman, hath no man condemned thee? No. And he said to that woman, my dear friend, concerned with your sins tonight, God would say the same to you. Neither do I condemn thee. Neither do I condemn thee. Hear it simply tonight. Let the Spirit of God bear the words of the Saviour home to your heart. Deep and dark though your sins may be, awful suffering and death that they caused him, yet such is his heart tonight that would say to you, I do not condemn you. Come near to me and learn this wonderful truth that this other woman learned. In Luke chapter 7, these scriptures so well known, you know. But I say again, how sweet they are to the heart that loves him. Like music upon the ear to those whose hearts have proved already the love of God. The wondrous story of the down-stooping grace of Christ that led him into the house of Simon the Pharisee. Bidden there, we would suggest, out of hypocrisy and pride. And yet in lowly grace he went, not for Simon. Not for Simon. He knew of a heart that wanted him. Let me ask you again. Is there a heart here this night that wants him? Is there a heart that needs him? Draw near. Hear afresh of his matchless love and grace. He went in. I've often mused upon this blessed scene. There are at least 4 or 5 incidences in the Gospels where he went in and sat down to feast. They're worth looking into. And you know, one has often wondered where he sat. Remember the words that he said to his disciples when you're bidden to a feast. Don't take the high seat, but take the lowest. I believe he went in and sat at the lowest place. Why? He wanted to be completely accessible to a poor woman that wanted him. And I tell you tonight, the Saviour that God has provided, dear friend, is wondrously available for you tonight if you will but come to him in repentance and faith. And so this woman came, she heard of him. How wonderful it is when something of him comes to the heart of a sinner, lost and undone. She heard of him, and she went in and sat behind him. Once again, there were men that didn't love him, a man that had bidden him in, but gave him no kiss, gave him no refreshment, gave him not even the courtesy of the day, and yet he went in, and he sat down to meet. And there came in a woman of the city. And twice in this chapter it is emphatically said of her, she was a sinner. One has pointed out before that if you read the 7th chapter of Luke, you'll find that 2 things come out of the city in this chapter. We've read of a woman, a sinner of the city. If you read the beginning of the chapter, you'll find again the city is mentioned. And out of it came a funeral procession, death. 2 things mark the city. 2 things mark this world that you and I are in. Sin and death. Into such a scene has come a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And he was there, available to the sinner. And he's here tonight. God is here, available to the sinner who is concerned, who is repentant. God is here to save you tonight, dear friend, whoever you are. She reached him. I don't want to talk about Simon. He missed the blessing. I didn't say much about those Pharisees in John chapter 8. They missed the blessing. And you know, beloved friend, I say it with the deepest feeling, the saddest thing that could happen in this room tonight is for one to go out like them, having missed the blessing of salvation. It's the saddest thing that can happen in your life, that you miss the blessing that God wants to give you. Simon, I believe, missed it. Those Pharisees missed it, and they went on to an awful thing. They crucified him. The ends to which sin can lead a soul are awful. Into the eternal judgment of God. Hell itself. Oh, don't miss the blessing tonight. Come like this woman. She got behind him. The safest place to be when accusers roar, when judgment condemns. How blessed to be behind his shelter. You notice that he was between Simon and the sinner. Oh yes, how perfect and true and blessed is the word of God. He placed himself between the accuser and the condemner and the sinner. She was behind him, weeping. Tears, I believe, of repentance. She had proved and tried the awful ways of sin. She had plumbed the awful depths that sin can go to. And she was conscious of her condition before God. She wept tears of repentance. She kissed his blessed feet. Oh yes, no one ever came into blessing without having a personal touch with the Saviour. You've got to get to him. You must get to him to get salvation. You've got to reach him in faith this night. She reached him. She kissed him. She held him. And she got the blessing. And that's the glad tidings. If you reach him tonight in the faith of your soul, my dear friend, you'll know the blessedness of the salvation that he can give you. She wiped his blessed feet with her hair. She laid her glory and all that was hers at his blessed feet. And she anointed them with the ointment that was for God. That's a little gem put in by the side. Because the wonder of the glad tidings is this, that whenever a soul reaches the Saviour in faith, there's something that goes up pleasurable to the heart of God. I believe that ointment was for the nostrils of God. From a woman, a sinner of the darkest dye, that had violated, one could perhaps say, righteous claims of the throne of God, and yet from such a heart there was something that went up to the heart of God. Boy, she reached the Saviour. The Lord, in dealing with Simon, says to him concerning her, "Seest thou this woman?" Yes. He would direct your attention, as he did Simon's that day, to such an woman. "For here is the way of salvation and forgiveness. Seest thou this woman?" Sadly, he rehearses what he had not done, but how it cheered his heart to tell out what she had done. Can we tonight, dear friend, record before God what you've done? You know yourself what you haven't done. You know the sins that you've committed. Have you repented of them? Can we record of one in this room tonight? Perhaps a young one. A child with Christian parents. Can we record of you tonight what you have done this night? That you've reached the Saviour. You've embraced him. You've heard him say of you, his or her sins are forgiven. All this is essential. This is needful. And then he turns to her. Yes, he turned away from Simon. There was nothing in Simon to delight his heart. And I tell you, my dear friend, in love for your soul, if you're without Christ in your sins, there's nothing in that life of you for God. Nothing at all. He turned away from Simon and he addressed himself. Think of it. God addressed himself to a sinful woman. And he said to her, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." That's wonderful.
God did it. God was there in Christ. And he said to that woman, thy faith has saved thee. And it's needless to tell of the peace that such words can bring to a heart that has reached him in faith. I leave these scriptures with you. I end by simply rehearsing again, dear friend, whoever you are, I trust that the Spirit of God will take these scriptures and use them for his glory and your blessing. But let me tell you again of what God has done for you concerning his only begotten Son, when there on the cross of Calvary, where men put him. Yes, it was men that put him there, but it was God that dealt with him. When God in righteous judgment dealt with our sins, he laid them on him. And he who knew no sin was made sin, dear friend, for you, for me, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's where the work was effected. That's where God has been justified in all that he has done and will ever do throughout eternity. It was there on the cross of Calvary where a righteous basis was laid in love, dear soul, friend, for you, whereby God can address himself to you tonight if you will but repent and come to him in a simple, believing faith and reach the Saviour and hear him say to you, God does not condemn. I do not condemn. I came to save. Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. God grant that there is one in this room tonight, of whom it will be recorded in heaven, that they have reached the Saviour in faith and have received the forgiveness of sin. For his name's sake.